Dan, what are your thoughts on Blade? Do you like him?
I love him. I mean, ever since Wesley Snipes stepped into that trench coat, you know, it was all uphill from there for me, at least. Well, I'm lying.
And his hockey pads, his giant chest covering hockey pads. What exactly did he need those for?
I don't know. Like, he was never actually shot at, was he? Was he?
I think he was shot at by the cops.
Well, no, I remember the first movie, that one scene where they shot at him. Was like, motherfucker, you crazy?
Oh, yeah. That's yeah. Right. Yeah, but it was the cops. Remember, it wasn't the vampires that shot him. It was the cops inside the hospital.
Well, I mean, he needs that for modern day America. Let's face it. He's a daywalker. He's a black man. He probably would have shot at every once in a while. And he's carrying a katana blade on his back.
See, I'd shoot him too. I don't care if he's black or a daywalker. If you're carrying around a katana and I have a gun, I'm gonna win. I got to protect my family, man. I'm not gonna allow you to just carry a sword.
Well, if he was actually Blade, you will not win. There's no getting around that. He will slice your hand off.
I don't mind getting taken out by Wesley Snipes. He's a good guy.
You think he sells a chops for that though? I don't know.
I think they need to move on.
I think so too. They need to start over because Marvel now has the rights back to him. I can see them doing similar to what they did to Ghost Rider, find a way to weave him into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series to keep it going.
Interestingly enough, did you know that Blade actually joined S.H.I.E.L.D. During Civil War? And he led a government-funded vampire group known as the Vanguard, I believe?
No, I did not. Wait, is it Civil War I or Civil War II?
Civil War I.
What?
Yeah. He joined up. He signed up. He was like, yeah, I'll sign that registration act.
See, that's one of the Civil War ties I never bought. So I had no clue.
Yeah, me neither.
But
you never really see a whole lot of Blade offshoots. At least when I'm in the comic book store, I never see them. But I want to actually go back and read a couple because, like we were saying offline, he is a legitimate horror character.
Yeah.
Like he has his origins steeped in Dracula and Van Helsing and all that. Like he's another tidbit people probably don't realize because everyone kind of grew up with Blade, the Wesley Snipes character. But the actual Blade character is from London. Like he's an English vampire hunter. Mm-hmm. And when I found that out, I was like, well, why did they? Well, all due respect to Wesley Snipes and how much I love that the first movie and the second movie, really, because Guillermo del Toro does vampires like, just creepy, creepy stuff. But I would love to see like a British version of Blade. Like, could you imagine? Just think of this. We were given a Van Helsing movie with Hugh Jackman that is complete trash. Could you imagine if they made a Blade movie where he's basically fighting Dracula and teaming up with Van Helsing?
That would be amazing. But the thing is, like, you know, so it's based in English horror roots, like via Marvel Comics in the 70s, I think, right? That's where the first comic book debuted.
Vampire Tales number 8. That was his first solo comic. It was a black and white horror book.
Well, that's the thing. Marvel hopped on every single trend that was out there to keep the company going. You know, so when comic books like Tales from the Crypt were popular, I can only imagine Marvel's like, oh, let's jump on this and create a superhero, you know, just for a horror genre. And I found it pretty interesting that they create a black character for this. You know, and at the same time, like the origin of Blade and how he came about was pretty interesting in terms of his mom was a pregnant prostitute who was bitten by a vampire and passed on some sort of enzyme into the child that made Blade at that point immune to vampire bites. Okay, so mother got bit, mother died during birth, and then he was raised in a brothel with the other prostitutes, if I got the story correct. And, you know, from there he came into another, he saved another vampire hunter who trained him to be a killer from that point on. You know, so he never actually had, you know, in the very beginning, he never actually had any real superpower other than he was immune to vampire bites. And then the Blade movie tweaked things a little bit more. And then, you know, the super strength came in and, you know, Daywalker and all that stuff. It's like, even down to the weaknesses, you know, the weakness of him needing blood was only came about during the movie when that premiered. Well, I mean, like, let's be very honest, you know, Blade was the kickoff to the Marvel Universe, you know, officially, unofficially. You know, if it wasn't for him and his success, we wouldn't have the Marvel movies you have today.
Yeah, the movie did show that comic book movies can make more money than, you know, the previous iterations did, because there were, you know, the poor outings like the Captain America movie. But yeah, Blade actually took it, was it just so happened to be a comic book. You know, that's why I liked the first Blade movie. While it did have its flaws, it stands alone as just a vampire movie, yeah. Pretty much. It's a horror movie.
There have been nights, I think within the last year, so I've watched the movie three times. Like I was, you know, up late night. I was like, what do I want to do? Let's, you know, download Blade and watch that. It's always fun. Like, mm-hmm. You can't beat that first, you know, 10-minute scene of him fighting in the blood rave.
Yeah, the blood.
And then it just takes off from there. You're like,
the blood rave is hilarious because he doesn't actually get
blood. Yes. How do you avoid that?
No blood falls on him. Yeah. He avoids every drop of blood.
But like a lot of things don't really, you know, if you start breaking it down, you know, how do you throw a blade and have it cut every vampire's neck off and come back to you in a circle?
Yeah, without losing any momentum.
Yes. You know, it's like, let's not try to ruin this for me right now. I still love the movie.
Hey, you said it, not me, man. All I said was he didn't get touched by blood. You're ruining the glaive part for yourself.
Is that okay?
Don't put that on me.
Blade, I can watch all the time. It's just a stupid fun movie. Like, you just turn your brain off when you watch it. Blade 2 took a little more.
I like Blade 2. I like Blade 2 more because I'm a big fan of Guillermo del Toro, and I like his take on vampirism being like a virus, and he treats the vampires less like the, sexually charged beings. Like they're humans, but they just want to like bite, and it's ecstasy and all this other stuff that, you know, you get from all those old old Dracula movies or the Twilight books or stuff. And he turns them into a parasite, and the ecstasy is exchanged for sustenance and violently taking that life essence from the victim and becoming stronger with it.
And then, you know, then we could skip forward to Blade 3, which wasn't really a Blade movie. It just happened to be in it.
Oh, that was a travesty what happened to that movie.
You can tell that Wesley didn't want to be there, and the budget wasn't even there to keep him looking like Blade like he needs to, because the entire movie, they had him wearing long-sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
So you no longer saw the tattoos. That means they didn't have to paint the tattoos on him.
Mm-hmm.
It was so weird watching that movie. Also, I remember sitting in the movie theater watching that movie. I was like, wait a second. This is a backdoor spinoff. This is not actually a Blade movie. And they actually handed off to Hannibal King and Whistler's daughter at the end.
And it wasn't, I would beg to differ. I wouldn't say it's a backdoor pilot backdoor pilot. That was a straight up pilot. There was no backdooring anywhere. That was straight up like, hey, we want to make a Hannibal King movie. We want to make a Night Stalkers movie. That's what they wanted to do. And maybe Blade will show up if we can get the funds to get him back. But if you haven't heard, and listeners, if you are so inclined, look up Patton Oswalt talking about the horrors of the director and Wesley Snipes working together on that movie. It is the best. It's on YouTube. It's the best thing you'll hear all night, except for this podcast. This is to be the best thing, and that would be the second. No, you know what? I won't even understand. That will be way better than anything we are going to say on this podcast. It's just, I'm not even going to spoil what he said.
Patton Oswalt,
great. Go look it up.
He's always good at telling a story. And to be absolutely honest,
wonderful story, man.
I'm going to YouTube that myself because I'm very curious because I knew that it was a travesty. Like, just watching how that movie is put together, just watching the cuts, you can tell Wesley did not want to be there half the time. And
not half the time.
At all. And
at all.
You could tell that he was just pissed off that his screen time is being taken away.
There was enough footage of everyone else that they could have just made a separate movie with it. There was no reason to put the Blade title on it. And it did a disservice, really. Like, it could have sat on its own merit without Wesley Snipes and Blade and just been some weird, you know, Night Stalkers / not Night Stalkers vampire movie. Because, hell, Triple H was in it. He's not a good actor.
Oh, I forgot about that with the vampire chihuahua? What was that?
Yeah, he had a vampire dog. Him and Parker Posey.
You're bringing back these memories where, like, I just kind of shoved them down deep and chose to forget about it.
Oh, it was a terrible movie.
And then he fought.
It was awful.
He fought Dracula himself.
Oh, and Dracula was the guy from Prison Break.
And who's now Heatwave on.
Dominic Purcell.
Yes. He's now playing Heatwave on Legends of Tomorrow, which I love, by the way. I love him in that character. Because it's so campy, you just gotta roll with it.
Well, he fits that character. He is not an ancient evil known as Dracula.
Never.
Let's get that right out the door.
And whoever came up with that character design for the actual manifestation of what Dracula is, it was horrible. That
weird demon. Yeah. Oh.
He looked like a lobster.
The more we talk about this, the more I really hate that movie. Like, I've seen it.
We have not even hit the television show yet.
Oh God. Yeah, let's just keep shitting on this for a little bit. I saw Blade Trinity one time, and no joke, it seared itself into my brain. I remember all this stuff from one viewing. I had never looked it up again. I've never seen it again. Everything I am recalling has been burned into the back of my eyes because that movie was I remember Dracula was like walking across a rooftop holding a child or something, and he like threw him off or some nonsense, and I'm sitting there watching saying I don't get why Dracula is so okay. Why is Dracula okay in the sunlight? That was my first thing. Like, I don't get, why is he a daywalker? He shouldn't be that. That's Blade's thing.
Yes,
I was very confused that entire movie. And then Ryan Reynolds was exhausting.
Yes.
Exhausting. He was like auditioning for Deadpool for like 20 years. Just like, dude, take it down a notch.
And then Jessica Biel wasn't that bad. I mean, she wasn't given that much to do, and she can fight. Right? I was like, I liked her character. I liked her gadgets. You know, I agree that Hannibal King was exhausting. I agree that
so exhausting. He would not shut up.
Be there. And then Dracula himself was just a poor excuse for a character.
But you see, like, that's the weird thing, is that all the movies kind of touch upon Blade's history, whereas Deacon Frost is the guy who turned him into a vampire by biting and killing his mom in the comics. And in the first movie, we have Deacon Frost do the same thing, except they bring the mother back. In Blade Trinity, he fights Dracula, which is a thing that Blade consistently fought and tried to kill Dracula. He is basically a Van Helsing or a Belmont from Castlevania. So in Blade Trinity, he actually gets to take on Dracula, which is another part of Blade's history. I don't know if there is I guess you can say that Blade 2, the whole blood pack, is the Vanguard from Civil War, but the Vanguard kind of, it comes after that.
Yeah.
But you can still have that weird tie, that time jump tie. So all the movies try and touch upon Blade's history, but none of them actually go full hog horror movie, straight up like hardcore horror movie with Blade, which I think would be really interesting. So we'll save that for the Forge.
Okay.
And we'll double back and talk about Sticky Fingers as Blade on the 2006 live action series, which aired on Spike TV.
I remember trying to keep up with the show. I remember seeing the first three episodes, and I was like, he's not fighting. He doesn't know how to fight. This does not look convincing. It's like, oh, and he can't act either. How'd he get this role? Why did somebody give him this role?
I was so confused.
Yes.
By that casting.
Like, give Dulé Hill the role or something. Like, give something that can act and move.
Shout out to Dulé Hill. Mm-hmm. I think I'm with you. I tried to follow the series. I watched 1.5 episodes. Every episode was more boring than the last.
Yes.
I could not get behind it. I liked when he was on screen. I liked his look. I did not buy him on a TV show. But I think he works in bursts on screen and not so much like in an ongoing series.
Like, he, to me, on a television series, he'd work like Batman in the background, like work in the background somewhere, pops every once in a while, saves somebody, and disappears into the night. Because I think Wesley Snipes proved it. You know, the first movie was fun, but keep in mind that what kept those movies going are the actors he had around him, because Blade was a very one-dimensional character.
I think he works the same way the Punisher worked on the Daredevil Season 2 series, where you have to give him a motivation and then make him a force of nature. He can't be... I don't feel like Blade should be a sympathetic character. He's like, bad things have happened to him, but he's immortal, you know? And he gets the upper hand in most of his encounters, if not all. I mean, he's not immortal, but he doesn't age. He heals rapidly. He's a vampire. He can walk in the daylight. He can't be turned into a full vampire. He's immune to, like, he's the best of both worlds. Like, how do you feel sympathy for him?
What would be a good foil for Blade? Like, what would make him interesting is, like, in the long term for people to keep coming back? Because he's had a few comic book series pop up here and there, but they went away just as quickly as they came.
Okay, so how about this? We're going to just dive into the Forge.
Let's do it.
Right now. So, how do we make Blade more interesting? I think you have to depower him a lot. I think he can't be immortal. I think he can be... I think it'd be interesting if he feeds, he gains life, like Dorian Gray in the painting. Like, if he feeds on a human, he gains some years back. Maybe he gets a little younger, gets a little stronger for, you know, certain amount of time or something. I would love for him to have that mental battle with, I have to do this to keep going, and I have to kill Dracula. I'm going to stick with my Dracula story. I have to do this to keep going. I have to defeat Dracula. Once Dracula's dead, I can die. I don't care after that. And he's doing it because Dracula changed him into a vampire, killed his mom, killed a whole brothel full of, you know, ladies, killed his mentor, everybody. Everyone that Dracula has touched has died. Everyone he loves is dead. Now he's going after him. Have that. He knows he's still human, but he has to feed on other humans so that he can continue to fight this evil. And he tries to justify it by saying it's a greater good. Then at least you have some sort of conflict between, some internal conflict. He's not infallible. He's not immortal. And you can make him, instead of being, you know, some highly proficient in all martial arts like everyone else is in every other comic book movie ever, make him okay at one thing and have him study as he continues to go along. Like, it's always interesting to watch someone get better. So maybe you come in mid-train where he's getting better at kickboxing or jiu-jitsu or something. And you get to follow his journey at becoming better. Maybe he has like a every town he goes to, he seeks out the best person that they have to train him, and he just picks up tidbits and creates his own style, you know? following him on a journey where he's not this superpowered being. He's just a guy trying to do right by doing wrong stuff.
And I feel as if he has to put down that, you know, dispense with the meathead type of personality that we've grown accustomed to, especially with the Wesley Snipes iteration of Blade. Mm-hmm. You know, and as you're speaking, I'm trying to think to myself, like, what sort of personality would this character have? You know, saying I let's keep in mind he is a black character, mm-hmm. right? So what aspect of his community and his culture would he bring with him everywhere he goes that would make you not sympathetic, relate more to him as a character? Mm-hmm. Right,
it's like I think it's
you know, saying like we already spoke about, like, you know, I would definitely like to keep him an English character.
For sure, I think that's a very interesting aspect that's been overlooked, and I think it brings a little flavor to the character. Mm-hmm. Because how many like English black characters do you have anywhere?
Luther, and say any black character out there, like, you know, Idris Elba plays him. There's no getting around.
Yeah, I can go on mm-hmm. that. Hell, now that you say that, Idris Elba would be a dope pick.
You know, it's like, I see, you picture him as like a big Idris Elba character. I picture him as sticking to the back alleys, gaunt, you know, only driven by his desire to kill vampires and kill Dracula himself. So he's a little beat up, he's a little weary, he's a little gaunt. And to be absolutely honest, like, have you seen John David Washington?
Oh, okay, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
That's who I think of playing Blade. With the, you know, with the unshaved hair. You know, I can do without the tribal tattoos, because let's face it, that was a product of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm thinking, like, kind of, you know, not necessarily fro, but like unkempt hair, you know, the beard's growing out a little bit, and his wardrobe fits his lifestyle and what he's trying mm-hmm. to do. So like anything he has would be concealing weapons. You know, his clothes would be a little beat up, you know, but it'd be tactical.
Yeah, he only carries what he needs. He earned the name Blade because he's proficient with blades. Like, maybe that's his skill that is better than everyone else's. I would love to keep like the bandolier of blades that they have him outfitted with. Mm-hmm. So he has kind of like this underneath his shirt, there's just more blades under it. Like, he always has a blade for every situation. Like, oh, I could pick this lock, I could use this blade. Like, it becomes less of like, I'm going to kill you with this blade, but like, he's almost obsessed with them for some reason. Like, he's like, I can get into this window, but I need this, you know, carbon fiber, blah blah blah, blah. Like, he can name what it is, mm-hmm. and he can open up a window with it. Or he's like, oh, I need to, you know, cut this steak, I'm going to use this, you know, Windsor flip switchblade or something, you know. Like, he always has a knife somewhere.
I can see, like, I can literally see him in the original 70s get up, you know, minus a green jacket, you know, change it called the jacket and give him a freaking t-shirt, for God's sakes. You know, but I can see him in that streetwear. You know, it's like, so let's back up a little bit. Like, if nobody knows what the original Blade looks like, think of the most stereotypical 70s character you could think of. You know, black man with a fro, right? And with this fro,
the go-to.
Yes. And he is wearing these big yellow or green ski goggles for protection. And then a trench coat, you know, and then it's like, what do you call it? The leather strap on his shoulder, holding a bunch
the bandolier.
Of picks in it. Stakes. Not picks, stakes.
Stakes. I kind of hate that outfit.
Really?
I do. And there, it's weird because I kind of love Luke Cage's outfit, and it's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. It's just as campy. I hate the shades. The coat, I guess, is fine, but it's not, it makes him stand out so much. Like, why would the stakes be outside the jacket? They should be inside. The jacket should be black or dark or brown or something, you know, darker colored. Should be a little longer, a little more, like you said, tactical. Maybe there's like it's buckled hard to his body. Like he would have some sort of camo jeans or something. I don't know. There's something about that outfit that I just don't like. Maybe it's the afro. It's the color palette and the afro and the glasses.
I'm okay with the glasses. You know, especially for the time, I'm okay with the glasses. You know, I don't know how well it would transfer to the modern day. You know, if we redo this character in modern day, like the stakes on the outside of the jacket need to go. Like, he has to be able to conceal those a little better.
I think it doesn't need to be modern day. I think you should take it way far back, like 1500s or something.
Like Van Helsing?
Very much so, yes. Because then you add in the race aspect that gets really weird. Can he travel? You know,
mm-hmm.
what's the world like? What fighting styles are back then? Does he create some funky quasi future fighting style to fight vampires? Does he team up with Van Helsing? Does Van Helsing team up with him? Is Van Helsing a woman? Like, this is all, like, maybe he's older than Van Helsing. Van Helsing's like a teenager. And Van Helsing learns everything from Blade.
So are you saying Van Helsing, not Van Helsing, Blade was created, like, you know, back in the, you know, Jack Ripper times?
Yeah, just, like, steep it in that horror culture.
Time out. What if Jack the Ripper was actually a vampire, and he's the one that killed Blade's mom and made Blade who he was?
I'm on board. I like that idea. I like the idea of Jack the Ripper being a vampire, because that would, you know, no one knows who he was and they'd have no idea what he looked like. Maybe he was a straight up vampire.
I'm down. I am down for that. Guaranteed that's been done somewhere before. Somebody's already, you know, had that story of Jack the Ripper was a vampire. I don't care.
That's fine, but I bet he wasn't fighting Blade.
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't fighting Blade.
Deal with it. I don't care.
Yeah.
He's out there right now. This is our story to be told. And I'm totally down for that.
I like the aspect of having him fight Jack the Ripper and Jack the Ripper being a vampire. I also like this. I think this idea is worth just saying out loud. What if Jack the Ripper, instead of killing all the prostitutes, was just turning them into an army of vampire ladies that Blade would then have to fight?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
So it's like, oh, the he killed another prostitute.
Well, no. It's like, she keep got in back mind, home. At that time, Jack the Ripper would not be turning them into vampires for Blades, you know, to kill Blade. They'd be killing other vampire hunters. So the other, at that point, was Jamal. You know, okay, so going back to his origin, you know, it was not Whistler who trained Blade. It was his friend Jamal, who happened to be a trumpet-playing vampire hunter.
Mm-hmm. A jazz musician or something.
Yes. See, folks, you're learning stuff.
Yeah, I like the idea of everyone thinking Jack the Ripper was killing these ladies, and he was actually collecting them into this weird vampiric hive mind, where it wasn't a sexual thing; it was more of a I want to take over, you know, London thing, and let's go hunt these vampires across the world. I need an army, pretty much. Like, there's too many people trying to kill me. I need an army. Is Jack the Ripper the incarnation of Dracula? So not Dracula in name, but that character. Like, they give this name Jack the Ripper to this entity, and that entity is what Dracula would be.
Yeah. I think I would go for the more of a minion of Dracula and have you work your way up the ladder. But like, let's not make, you know, him Dracula the first season, at least. Let's build up the...
No, I'm saying that you don't even call him Dracula. I'm saying that the thing that would be Dracula that everyone says is that, you know, I fought Dracula. He doesn't have a name. It's kind of like, what was, that stupid apocalypse thing. Like, people have called me Yahweh. People have called me that. But I have no name, you know, kind of thing. So people have called me Dracula. People in London called me Jack the Ripper. You know, someone in Kansas called me the Wolfman. But I am just, you know, I'm eternal.
I don't know how I feel about that. Because, like, I would like to keep the entire monster world open just for Blade. So, you know, delegating Dracula to be all those things at once, I think we should hold off. Like, I think Dracula at that point should be hanging in the, you know, hanging in the background for a little while and building upon that.
So is Jack the Ripper then like a minion of
sorts? Yes. That's what I think. I feel as if he should be a minion.
But then, I mean, Jack the Ripper is a very strong idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot stronger than Dracula. That's why I try to see if it makes sense that this entity would be known as Dracula. I mean, I think you can open up the monster world just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think having such a personality and such a historical monster like Jack the Ripper, who was an actual person, be this mythical creature gives more weight to the idea of Dracula. Because we were talking about earlier, like, how do you do that without, you know, it's all been done before. So I think.
All right. So I think we should stick with that. So the first arc, you know, we have the reader thinking he's chasing after Jack the Ripper the entire time. And then his Blade story starts to unfold. And it turns out that Blade is actually, you know, part vampire, and he's actually chasing Dracula. Like, I feel as if the first arc of that book should be Blade finding out exactly what he is. Like, the entire time Blade's being raised to be a hunter, but he doesn't necessarily know what he's hunting. He knows he's hunting a bad guy, right? He knows he's hunting the person that killed his mother, that killed his friends, right? That killed his mentor, right? But he doesn't necessarily know what he is. And it's going to be slowly revealed as the arc goes on. Like, finding a way to cleverly do that. Like, keep you engaged with the character himself. You know, like, we could start this entire arc and not actually even call it Blade. Right? It could be that twist at the end. Say, oh, this is where we're actually going. Like, we could create a compelling character, a black character, who's growing up in this time that had his mother killed, you know, and had his mentor killed. And the mentor the entire time was training him, but never really told him why he was being trained. Like, you want to find the person that killed your mother? You need to know how to do this. You know, so, you know, Blade grows to be this quasi-badass who's also a little clever, right? But still sort of a meathead in terms of, like, he has his sole goal of finding this one person. And when he finally finds this one person, the entire world opens up to him. It's like, oh, wait, this is more than I thought it was going to be. And I'm a little, I'm a little overwhelmed. This is a little over, you know, this is above my pay grade. And him having, at that point, at the end of the arc, having to readjust to his new worldview and understanding, like, this is what I now have to live up to. And this is what I now have to be. Like, I feel that at the end of the first arc, he got his ass kicked and handed to him. And Dracula tried to bite him and realized that his bite didn't work. And it's like, maybe Blade's blood is now poisonous to Dracula. So when Dracula bites him, he has to retreat into the darkness and heal. That way Blade doesn't actually die. So Blade now has to pick himself up. And that second arc is now him fighting who he now knows to be Dracula. And learning the history behind it on top of that as well. Too much?
No, not too much. I think the Dracula thing gets a little. I think the name Dracula is the thing that's my problem. That's why I liked the idea of him, like, seeing in a newspaper or hearing a town crier talk about this character called Jack.
Oh, Ripper, yeah.
Who's killing chicks.
I didn't make that clear. No, like, my whole thing is, like, yeah, keep him Jack the Ripper the entire time for that entire arc. And then at the end, when Blade is finally face to face with this Jack the Ripper character, his whole world opens up. Like, wait a second, this is more than just some crazy dude slitting women's necks in the back alleys. This is a man trying to, or an entity trying to create an army.
Or who has amassed a small army and is continuing to grow it. I like him trying to overcome insurmountable odds and maybe failing.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for him failing.
Most likely failing.
Yes.
Like having vampirism kind of spread and him being like unable to hold back the floodgates. It's just like, I'm looking for help. I'm trying to tell people I'm fighting as many as I can. I'm chasing this person that everyone calls Jack the Ripper across London. I'm you know, traveling on boats and I'm running into him like almost Carmen Sandiego-esque. Like, where did he go? Is he over here? And then I take a boat and then I find a vampire nest, and he carries around a map and he's like crossing places off and circling and making notes. Like, I like the idea. I kind of like the idea of him being just kind of OCD.
Yes,
a little bit.
Absolutely.
Not only with the knives, but just with like tracking. Like, he has his sword and he has like a giant notebook that has notes and drawings and sketches of insides of vampires, and like he's done weird autopsies by himself. Like, he doesn't know what the hell he's looking at, but he'll draw it, and he's just like sketches and scratches and newspaper clippings and, you know, tickets to countries that he's been to remind him. He's like, I went here already. Like, he's just really obsessive about it, and he's just chasing this character across the world. And then like at the end he realizes that not only has he been chasing this guy and losing, but the other dude's been winning.
Yep.
Like, he's been changing everybody. And when he looks back on his travels, he realizes that he just chased this dude across the globe and he succeeded in building this army. And now he has to either kill this dude or amass his own army without dying first. Like, I love the idea of him just constantly failing to kill Dracula, and Dracula unable to kill him, because I like that poison idea. Like, I can't bite you and change you into someone like me. I can't bite you at all. Like, your blood is like half tainted with some crap stock and human, so there's nothing I can do to you, but you can't kill me because you're weak. Like, you don't know how to defeat me. And you anger me. Your existence angers me.
Dracula cannot break his spirit because he is so OCD about the life he's chosen to create for himself that he's just gung-ho in terms of like, I will stop you in one way or another. Singular high water.
Singular focus. No wavering. It's down to the people feel like he's insane.
He only talks about a single thing. I can almost see him as a wayward man child. You know, where the intelligence is there, but it only shows in the light of he's hunting vampires. You could tell he like an idiot savant, right? But he never grew past his childhood stage because that's where he's emotionally stunted.
I don't know about stunting him emotionally. I like the idea of him being singularly focused, but I wouldn't want to make him like a not aware of certain things or with the mind of a child, because then it gets into weird territory then. Like, I think he should be a fully grown man. Like, he could be like either one of us. Like, we can get singular focus.
Mm-hmm.
And obsess over something, but we don't have to be like a child about it. I like the idea of him so focused that he's blind to see that he's losing.
Absolutely.
Just like, I'm going to win. I can't not win. And then he stops one day in a nice self-reflective moment and says, this whole time I'm saying I can't lose and I lost. It's basically that. I'm going to chase this one vampire. Every other vampire that gets in my way, I'm going to kill. But this one is going to get it. This, for this Blade version, that one just so happens to be the king.
Mm-hmm.
And the king just so happens to have it out for him as well. There's like this mutual... And even if we take it back to Jack the Ripper being the one who killed his mom, there's like a paternal struggle there too. He's like, I'm kind of your dad. And he knows it, and he's just like, I'm going to kill you, dad. Like, you did this to me. You've ruined my life. Everything you're doing is the worst thing ever. I have to stop you. See, like, and his father's like,
that's where the whole notion of the petulant child comes from, because the way you just described that, the tone you took on, you know, almost had that, like, that petulant child type of tone. It's like, I hate you, dad.
Everything you did was wrong, and I'm paying for it, so I'm going to stop you. And the other guy's like, you're not worthy of me even killing you. I can't even do it. You upset me. You disappoint me so much. Like, I couldn't even change you. Like, he's his one mistake. He's like, I can change all these prostitutes into my hive mind, but you, son, are the only one who got everything I don't have. You could walk in the daylight. You're not allergic to, you know, garlic. You don't have to drink blood. I have to do all those things. I couldn't even turn you. Like, you are a disappointment, and I'm still jealous of you.
It works.
It's like this, yeah, this horrible, like, clashing of father and son. So let's do a quick round of what he looks like, what this forged up Blade character looks like, and then we'll call it a show.
Right.
So are we gonna stick with the old school coat, or are we gonna get more like Victorian England esque with it?
If we are sticking to the Blade in Victorian England, we have to come up with a Victorian costume, something that would fit in that day and age.
Victorian England fashion is very suit and top hat.
But you're thinking of the aristocratic, like the upper class. You know, Garrett's like, you know, I think of gangs in New York when I think of Victorian.
They had top hats.
Yeah, Victorian England. But, you know, not as fashionable. Like, things are a little beat up and stuff like that. Victorian England. I'm looking
at lots of fashion vests right now. Yeah, lots of vests, top hats, overcoats, tweed jackets.
Yes. I mean, do we want him to be scruffy? What are we looking for?
I think I like the idea of the Denzel Washington's son, the gaunt, almost, sickly. I wish I was more informed on Victorian England, like, street wear.
So I'm thinking long trench coat, because he's going to have to hide the weapons in one way, shape, or form. He's going to be wearing a vest. You know, just a button-up vest.
Mm-hmm.
Button-down shirt under it. You know, still looking scruffy.
Suspenders?
I don't know.
I believe there are suspenders.
I mean, I say, I'm thinking those suspenders will have blades attached to it or some sort of weaponry attached to them. So, yes, let's go with that.
Instead of suspenders, he has, like, bandoliers that go across his chest that could hold his pants up.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the knives in them.
I'm trying not to go, what do you call that? Punk, steampunk? Mm-hmm. But my brain keeps drifting towards that. I don't want
to. Let it drift, man. This is a fantasy. Why are you stopping?
All right, okay, fine. So, like,
do whatever you want.
You know, so I'm thinking of, like, the leather bandolier, or it's like over his chest, trench coat on top. Hell, we could keep the top hat. Right, have the fro pop out from under it, still have him look a little scraggly. Dude, I can put this together in, like, you know, 24 hours, not even, and show you exactly what I'm talking about. But can we keep the glasses in any way, shape, or form? We have to get rid of those, because I like the glasses.
I hate the glasses. I hate them so much. I'm not opposed to glasses. I just hate those.
Like, the reason I'm thinking of keeping the glasses is more like for safety. So he's kind of a vampire and nothing squirts into his eye.
Oh, okay, I get it. I'm going to use one veto power and say not those glasses. I hate them so much, man. They're so bad, man.
All right, so I'll find a way to work around those then.
You could just do goggles. Goggles are good. You said steampunk. They love goggles in steampunk.
And he has to wear, like, thick leather gloves, you know, with, thick fingerless leather gloves. So when he gets bit, they won't go through. He won't, won't get his skin pierced.
I like the idea of spring-loaded knives.
Mm-hmm.
Lean into that, like, blade title.
All right. Okay.
I like the idea that he has knives for every situation, everywhere. Like, maybe there's a knives in his gloves, just knives wherever the hell he can put them. You know, just like I got a knife here and I got a knife here, and he's really good with them. You know,
maybe he gets mistaken for Jack the Ripper at one point when he's coming up.
Yes. He's carrying so many knives. You got to be Jack the Ripper. I'm not. Absolutely. You kind of fit the profile. He's my dad. What? Yes, obviously, yes. Of course they're going to think it.
Yes, that absolutely works.
So I think that's enough for us to go on, for you guys to chew on. Think about what kind of blade you guys would want to make. We had some fun in the forge creating a Victorian England petulant child type blade who's OCD and travels the world looking for his Jack the Ripper Dracula hybrid father, and maybe his mom's still a prostitute. I don't think we ever landed on
it. No, I'm going to keep her that way, because I mean, Jack the Ripper was going out killing prostitutes, correct?
All right, yeah, we'll stick with the mama was a prostitute.
All right,
and papa was a rolling stone. That is our Blade episode, everyone. Please like and subscribe on iTunes. Head on over to Instagram and Twitter. You can follow us there. Follow Dan on his Instagram. There are links in the show notes. You want to give them the names of your many Instagram accounts?
Yes. My main Instagram account is the_basement_monster. The second one is @TheCarnivalPrince. @TheCarnivalPrince.
Awesome. You can follow Super Black @SuperBlackPC on Instagram, Super Black Says on Twitter. Head over to the website, drop a comment, send us a note, do whatever you want. Enjoy the podcast. Mainly subscribe and rate on iTunes, 5 stars if you like it. Tell your friends, tell your grandmother. You know, she knows who Blade is. This guy's been around since the 70s. This has been Super Black, and we are out, folks. Full stop.
See you later.